Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I can also, like Dan said, about thankfulness for the body. You know, when you're seeking the Lord, or when you're ministering, or when you're feeling after God, like Keith mentioned, and you see what Christ has done, the body is dear. It becomes, because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I am also thankful to be here. We sure have been blessed, at least last Sunday too, with Keith's message. I was remembering where he talked about, unless the seed falls in the ground, it dies, and dies, it abides alone. But anyway, then I was planting corn this week too, so I had a lot of time to meditate and think about that. Amen. Maybe I'll just follow that thought. I had a really rough time getting direction, or not really, you know, wanting to switch topics, you might say. But anyway, so as I was planting corn, well, first I got to plow the field, which I did a couple months ago, and it doesn't plow. I'm not a perfect plower, so some of the sod doesn't get turned over all the way, so some of the grass is still there, the roots are still there. So anyway, I disked a couple of times, and it was better and better, but it's still not. I took the tiller on my tractor over and tried to make it finer. So I was finally happy enough. I figured, well, we'll put the seed in. That'll be good. So Thursday, I go over there, and it's in the evening, and start it. And I got three-quarter way through, and I thought, I better check the seed. I hadn't even filled the hoppers. I had, this is a two-acre field, it's a small field, so it ain't going to take much corn. So I'm like, rather than dump it all in than just have to dump it back out when I'm done, I just, you know, put plenty in, I thought. So I get three-quarter way done, something tells me, I better go check. So I open the lid, and the hopper's kind of square on the bottom for some reason. And the hole that drops the seed down to the other holding area, there was no seed there. And I was just like, oh, you dumb cop. Oh, I was just, here I'm all this energy and time, and I'm not dropping seed. Oh, but I didn't know for sure. I thought maybe there was still, because there's a whole quart down there that I couldn't see. I just pushed the seed over and kept finished. But anyway, so I checked it later and I marked it where I the dirt, and then later I checked it the next morning. Sure enough, there was seed in there. But for a while I was like, so all these illustrations and even with the dirt, you know, the seed is good. But if the seed doesn't get covered, then it won't germinate. And I look at some of the dirt had big clots and clots. You know, it's not perfect, but I still have hope. I still have hope, and I still plant. And I'm like, sometimes we look at people and we just like, oh, you know, to bring them to Christ. And, you know, we don't sow. That illustration hit me in something. We just think the enemy wants to think it's impossible. But it's not, because the seed is good. So help, may we be reminded, and we were freshly reminded the last couple of weeks, we have people we're dealing with that professing, you know, believers, but yet the truth has evaded them and they've believed a lie, really is what has happened. But anyway, it was quite a few. I don't know what all. Oh, so then the crows, once the seed starts coming up, then the crows come. And then you have drought. You have um, It's just crazy. It's all the things. And then when the seed, when the harvest has finally come through, the weeds haven't choked it out, because you don't want to spray chemicals. So then the blackbirds come before you get the harvest. They want the milk stage, you know, the stage we like to eat. Then they come and they just peel it down. And I'm like, yet with all this, I'm crazy marrying this. I'm going to all that work. I still have hope. There'll be some fruit. I like to see things grow and multiply. What does God put in us? Because he said even at the beginning, let everything multiply and after its own kind. And I like that. Hallelujah. And even that brings me to that verse in John, which we're going to go there first and start off there. I don't know where we're going to end up. But yeah, my prayer is that we'll all be edified. We've had a time of good songs, good words that should have edified and built us up, and what Dan shared already. So I'm not going to be long-winded, I don't think. But so go to John chapter 12. You know, as I ponder what I'm going to talk about, I think of, well, you know, faith is always good to encourage in the faith. And the phrase, are you in the faith, is easier to be answered yes than is how is your faith. Because I don't think, you know, sometimes it's not like we're out of the faith, but our confidence or our personal faith in his working hand, in his that we're in the palm of his hand, or we're in every, you know, he's in control, that is challenged more. That is something we struggle with more than being out of the faith, but having our faith current, if you know what I mean, for your personal challenges, for your things you're believing for. So that we need ministry and encouragement for daily. I think that's why it says exhort one another daily. But okay, let me now find it. I can't do two things at one time. John 12. You know, there's always these scriptures. There's a few. I'm trust you all have certain scriptures that you were personally revealed to you. It wasn't even in church, but personally, the Lord ministered them to you, and they'll always just bless your socks off. They'll just, and this is one of those that when the Holy Spirit started opening up the scriptures and making them alive, this is one of them. So John 12, verse 24. Well, I'll start in 23. And Jesus answered and said to them, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And because of his death, which is very foundational, but yeah, because of his death and resurrection, we are now sons and daughters. We can now be brought in and be that fruit. And then he goes on to say, he that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So amen. Just wanted to read that again. Keith had read, I think, at least one or maybe two verses there the other last week, and just was blessed by that, which then takes me to another verse that I was blessed with in Luke 7:28. You don't have to turn to it. It's just one verse. Luke 7:28. Jesus says of John the Baptist, for I say unto you, among those born of women, there is none greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And this here goes along with what I just read too, how we that are born of God in after Jesus Christ's death and resurrection are greater than even John the Baptist, which was a powerfully used man of God. So these part of me, my makeup, what liberated me is seeing who we are in Christ. Amen. And claiming that and believing that. That's what feeds, that's what brings joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, is when we are resting and claiming what Jesus has done. So it always, of course, it always hurts or grieves or, you know, when people don't see and therefore their minds are blinded. They're not claiming the truth. So I want to talk a little bit about my split in my direction here this morning concerning this couple or these their shack up, you know, I might say, but yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So part of me loves to dwell on these verses I shared and even a bunch of other verses in Romans. If I think of Romans 4, I was meditating this morning about Romans chapter 4, how that just taking how Abraham was righteous by faith, how that truth was the beginning of my road of Jesus says in we're going to go there then. It's John 8 says, if you continue in my word, continue in my word. So this morning, if there's a title to this message, I would be something in that line. If you continue in my word. And I remember when I got a hold of like, yes, I couldn't perform, but I could be righteous. I could believe God. I shared this before. And that is what started ministering and bringing life, is taking God at his word. And once you get a hold of that and the Spirit, it starts bringing peace and joy and no longer condemnation, then you learn what feeds that and what hinders that. Amen. But anyway, I want to go to read some verses. So what I was, the other thing that Joanne and I were facing this week and baffled is how people could not, how just direct living in sin was not, there was no guilt, there was no condemnation, it seems. So I want to read some scriptures of what Jesus shared in the Gospels, his reaction or his, and that. So let's first go to John 5. John 5. We won't be in John quite a bit. Well, this says 1 through 14, so we'll just start reading at the beginning. And after this, there was a feast in of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at the Jerusalem a sheep market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Thank you. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So this miracle that takes place is really kind of different. A lot of places, you'll hear the blind man call on Jesus. You know, everybody's, you know, and this is way different. You know, the woman reaching out, all those. But this man, Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir," didn't realize he's the master of, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He doesn't know. He just said, "Sir," I mean, you know, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." So he had his problem diagnosed. And that's what we so often do. We're looking at the problem. We're looking, focusing at the issue, what we need. And we're like, here's Jesus talking to him. Oh, my. "I have no man, and the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." I think I shared this earlier. I had just like, you know, so in his mind, he was like, "My family's not helping me get in the pool. You know, other people have their help. I have nobody, you know." But anyway, Jesus says unto him, that's not really totally my point, even though there's just so much in here, said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Now the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away in a multitude being in that place. Afterward, this is why I'm coming here. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and he said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee." So Jesus just says, "Sin no more." We're just going to look at another two places. And I'm just wondering why we are telling people, we aren't, we, but the church has fallen into a, where we don't preach sin no more. Okay. So let's go to, that was 5. Then we'll go to John 8. John 8. Oh, this one here. In 11, she says, well, let's start in verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Amen. Now we're just going to stay in John 8. Let's go to verse 28. Then Jesus said unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And what happens? Okay, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. Amen. We agree with that. And what's their response? They answered in him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" You know, I have to think of when Adam and when God talked to Adam and Eve, he said, "Don't eat of this tree." Right away, Satan comes to bring doubt. He asks, "Did God say?" And when the word of God becomes a little dim, or not so sure, you know, she looked with her eyes, you know, she desired, it was going to make her wise, and she, you know, so all these other senses are kicking in, and the word of God becomes dim, and then it causes doubt, you know. And that is the work of the enemy, is to create doubt so we don't stand sure on our firm foundation. I think even, let's just go through the Old Testament. I mean, when the word of God is not sure, what, they grow dim? When the children of Israel are going through the wilderness, was the promise of that he's going to take us to the land flowing, that grows dim because you're in the midst of a test, you're in the midst of a trial. So therefore, you fall. But Jesus says, continue in my word, continue my word. Don't, anyway. Then he says, verse 24, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Wow. This is in response to them saying, they're free because we're Abraham's seed. But he's saying, look, you're in sins, you commit sin, and so therefore you're a servant of sin. That's what he's saying. And he says, verse 35, "And a servant abides not in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Wow, yeah, we have sonship, right? We have been sonship. We have an Abba Father cry. The Spirit of God has not only revealed Christ to us, but Christ knows us personally. We have a direct line. And then he says the verse, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed," which that verse is very popular and very known, but people don't really connect it to be free indeed is to not commit sin, I believe. That's little known. So if we know the truth, we can believe, we can claim, we can not walk ignorantly. Just a little. Okay, now I want to. This said that he who you yield yourself servants. No, this says if you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. So just a few more verses on that. Romans. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 16. "Know ye not," Romans 6:16, "know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin," praise the Lord, "ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants, now servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin," past tense, "ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" That's right. "For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So it's a new root. It's a new branch. It's a new seed. Hallelujah. Then he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, Jesus did die for our sin. That was, he took our penalty. He took our guilt. But I don't think we can say that because we're saints now, that the wages, if we continue in sin or walk in sin, that there won't be wages, like I've heard explained, because of what he says earlier. Now just Second Corinthians 4:4 is one verse. I can read it. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, hallelujah, shine into the of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that's what we are praying for, is that the glorious gospel could prevail through that veil, through their doubt, through the unbelief, and through the lies, that God could shine into them too. Another verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. So this is the work of the Spirit as we walk in faith, as we walk in His Word, walk in the Spirit. His work is done in us, has been done. It has been done. Hallelujah. I want to end with these verses in Peter, 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. To the end, we'll read all the way down. This is makes us want to worship. So verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ hath also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24 is why we come here. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, because of his work, we can be dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's our testimony. Oh, hallelujah. All glory and honor and praise to Jesus the King, the one that gave us this salvation, that miraculous salvation. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to read another verse. I missed it in my notes. It starts out negative, but it's beautiful at the end. I think it's right here. Well, so this verse kind of goes along with my thought. But the end, Hallelujah. What hope. What hope. So it is in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 8, says, "But ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But look at verse 11. "But such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." So there is the hope and the power. It's in Jesus, not in our ability, but in Jesus. In the finished work of the cross, we need to bring people to that. It doesn't matter if they were that, if they were this, because look, oh yes, may God give us a love and hope and belief that the ground doesn't look too cloddy. And we'd like, it looks like a drought this summer. And there's too much grass roots in that soil. The seed ain't going to germinate. And what does germinate, the birds are going to eat. No. Amen. I mean, I need as much grace and the love of God as anybody here to believe for the ones that can't believe for themselves. Amen. They can't believe for themselves. Lord Jesus, we do thank you again. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're thankful for what you've done for us. We just pray that you would also give us faith to intercede and believe for those that haven't tasted of your goodness, for those that haven't surrendered everything, that their eyes would be opened to the knowledge of the truth of your love and the truth of your call to whosoever will may come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for what we have in you, Lord. But Lord, let us not sit on it, Lord. Let us maybe be like those leopards that felt guilt after hoarding for a couple hours the treasures, the food, all the spoils. And they decided they had to go to the city and tell them, "There's plenty of food out here." Yes, Lord, may we be motivated, Lord, and led by you. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Thank you again for your presence, for the ministry of your Spirit, Lord, here today in Jesus' name. Amen.